Lakers are headed back to the NBA Finals.
This is what I came here for, playing for championships and compete for championships.
Let's go!
But the job is not done for me personally.
I believe in our group. I know that we can still win four more. I don't look at five seed or one seed. It's all about who's playing the best basketball at the right time.
Bam says, get it out of here. Got it, Jimmy Buckets. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers.
Everybody got a chip on their shoulder from something. We're not backing down from anybody.
LeBron James pulling out all the daggers.
If you want to win, you're going to have to go through a LeBron James-led team.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
It is NBA Finals time. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'll be joined a little bit later in the show by Richard Jefferson, Vince Carter, and Zach Lowe. Coming up, we will be discussing Doc Rivers out as Clippers coach. What is next for him? What is next for the team in LA? That is later on. First, though, it is media day here at Walt Disney World, and the Lakers are live at the podium. We're going to let you listen in.
Would it have any extra meaning to you to win a championship against against Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, guys that have helped shape you and vice versa in those years together?
Absolutely not. It's no extra meaning to winning a championship, no matter who you're playing against. It's already hard enough to even reach the finals to be in this position. So if you're able to become victorious out of the finals, it doesn't matter who it's against. I'm just happy that I'm here with the opportunity, to represent not only myself, but represent our fans, our fan base, our organization, my teammates, our coaching staff, our training staff, and so many others that represent this organization to the utmost respect. I knew what I was coming, what we were coming here for. Obviously, I would be lying if I sat up here and knew that everything inside the bubble, the toll that it would take on your mind and your body and everything else. Because it's been extremely tough. But I'm here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to compete for a championship. And that was my mindset once I entered the bubble, once I entered the quarantine process the first 2 days. And then right from our first practice, my mindset was to, if I'm gonna be here, make the most of it. And see what you can do and lock in on what the main thing is. And the main thing was for us to finish the season and compete for a championship. So that's just been my mindset, throughout these, I don't even know how many days it is. Whatever how many days it is, it feels like 5 years. So it really doesn't matter. But I've been as locked in as I've ever been in my career.
It don't matter.
Welcome back. I am now joined by, you can hear there's a little chatter there on the side, NBA champ Richard Jefferson. We've also got 8-time All-Star Vince Carter in the house with us, our senior writer, host of The Low Post, Zach Lowe, with us as well. Nice to see you gentlemen across the way there. We also have the Lakers doing media day, which means one of them is live on set. Dwight Howard, welcome to The Jump. Thanks for being back with us.
Thanks,
we appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Very much so. Dwight, this is your first time back in the finals in 11 years. It's amazing to me. We talked about this the other night. You were in this city, in Orlando, when you earned that trip to the finals, and it was against the Lakers.
Yes.
And man, things come around. How different is this experience for you now?
Oh, it's just been an amazing experience. You know, just to be able to have my son here first has been great. Just for him to see just this whole atmosphere, the championship pedigree, our team and how we are off the court, things that he can pick up on at a young age, So I'm glad he's here. And I'm glad that I'm back, in the finals. It's been a very long time, but I'm very grateful and thankful that I have this opportunity to go and win a championship.
I mean, you were in some ways just a kid yourself, right? The last time you went. Now you've got, you can go over and say hi to your dad. You can say hi to America there if you want. He's on set here with us.
Yeah, you see your foot? You can't kick your foot out.
His foot's sticking out. That's it. That's all he wants to do.
That's fine. There we go. There's our guy.
There you go.
There you go.
Dwight, you did face Kobe in those 2009 finals. And I have heard you guys through these playoffs talk about Kobe so much. What has his impact been on this team as you have dedicated this postseason to him?
Oh, man, it's meant everything to us, you know. Just this year has been, you know, a really, really wild year. And then with what happened with Kobe and, you know, his family, you know, it was very emotional for all of us. And, you know, I just go back to the conversation that I had with him after I went to the finals. Mm-hmm. When we talked for about 30, 45 minutes. I was in China and somebody got me his number and we had a really great conversation. And that was one of the best conversations I had with him. Mm. And I always cherish that.
Mm. One thing that I want to talk about, and I've been so impressed with you this year especially, because we used to talk a bunch after games, where Atlanta mm-hmm. or in D.C., and we would just kind of talk about how you were doing and how you were adjusting. And to see you come in this year on a non-guaranteed contract, and everyone in the league, including you and I, know that you were mm-hmm. better than that, but you came in and you reinvented yourself. And it went from, like, how can I dominate to how can I help this team? How has that transition, and we've seen it be difficult. You saw Carmelo struggle with it and then reinvent himself in Portland. How difficult was it to make that transition from a superstar to a person that is helping this team be in the NBA Finals?
Well, I think it was the transition at first was pretty hard, but mm-hmm. I had the help of my doctor, my spiritual guide. His name is Clayton Gibson. He's out in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And we spent the whole summer together training and talking and praying and teaching and learning. And when I got back for the season, I was ready. You know, I didn't have any problems with my back. My mind was in the right place, and I was ready to give myself, whatever team I was on, 110%.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you're a large reason why they are here. You know, and the one thing that I will say has been very, very impressive is the way you've handled playing in one series, not playing in the next, mm-hmm. and getting Jokic in the next series and being a large reason why
and
you guys dominate him.
Starting,
yeah, and jumping right? in and starting and then going against Jokic. Like that adjustment of playing, mm-hmm. not playing, that's something that you'd never, ever experienced, and you handled it well.
Thank you. It was, you know, at first, you know, as a player, you know, you're like, man, I want to play. I feel like I could do this, I could do that, I could help here and help there. But then I realized, like, I had to learn from all my mistakes in the past, you know, and sometimes the universe gives you so many different tests until you pass it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was one of the biggest tests for me, is just always remain humble, stay patient, continue to work extremely hard. And when you get that moment, just give everything you got.
I think Vince Carter has one for you.
VC, man.
Vince.
Oh, VC. Meg, first, what's up, brother? First of all, congratulations to you. Two-part question. First of all, what would this ring mean to you? And second of all, how much of an impact do you expect to have in this series because the Heat typically play small ball?
Dwight, no.
I can't hear him.
You didn't hear anything he just said?
No, I love you, Ben. I didn't hear him.
No. He said he had a two-part question. He said, mm-hmm. what would this ring mean to you? And then secondly, what are you going to do, like your impact on the series, knowing that the Miami Heat often play small?
Well, this, first of all, this the winning a ring would mean everything to me. You know, when I first went to the finals in Orlando, I felt like, you know what, I know how this feeling is. You know, I can get here every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, as basketball players, we know it is the hardest thing to do to get to the finals.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just, I've been full of emotions. I'm like, man, I can't believe I actually have this opportunity again, and I'm going to make sure I make the most of it. And the second part is, if they go small, then I'll be the best cheerleader.
Yeah.
I'll be the best cheerleader on the bench. I'll make sure I'm talking to the guys on the floor, letting them know where they need to be, you know, in certain spots and stuff like that. But just always staying ready. And that's the biggest thing, is just staying ready and staying prepared, because you never know when your name is going to be called. And if you're not ready, then you know what happens.
Oh, you know what happens.
You know, so I just want to stay prepared. And, you know, I'm just thankful that, you know, I have my son here for this opportunity. That's the biggest thing right there, is he get a chance to see the right example, you know, of how to be on and off the court, you know, because we have some of the greatest athletes all in the same place.
Yeah.
So he's been able to see that every day. It's been great.
so special. And you talk about being vocal. You've been vocal in so many different ways. You've cheered from the bench. You've been great. You have also, Dwight Howard, been on the opponents. I have heard a lot of trash talk from you. How much energy are you trying to generate? Because I know you guys feel it's kind of up to you, right? There's no fans here.
Yes, yes.
A couple scattered family members.
Yes.
But you have been, I have seen you talk more trash in the last couple weeks, frankly, than I saw for whole chunks of your career. What are you doing out there?
Well, like you said, there's no fans here, so we have to provide our own energy, you know, and that takes a lot. And I'm always full of energy, you know, so I just want to make sure that I continue to have that energy and try to make that energy be contagious to everybody that's on the floor. And even while we're in the bubble at the hotel, you know, during a time like this, we could all be down and sad, you know, but I'd rather, you know, flip that around. We should just enjoy these moments that we have because life is so precious and there's been so many lives that have been taken away, you know, in this year that we could all put our head down and, you know, just be sad every day. But, you know, I want to be able to uplift our teammates and uplift people. And, you know, being in a bubble has really helped me, you know, see that.
That's really nice to hear. That's really nice to hear. I do said you had words for Nikola Jokic where you said, I'm going to follow you to the hotel room. Is Bam out of he did, there was a lot of talking, is all I'm saying.
A lot of, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you.
Is Bam Adebayo in store for the same treatment? That's what
I am going to make sure the only people I talk to is my teammates, and I'm going to make sure I give the right type of energy for my teammates and on the floor and not get caught up with, you know, speaking to the other team and making it seem like it's about just me and that personal battle.
All right.
Bam is actually somebody that they used to say we was twins until I got hair. So I really enjoy seeing him grow as a player. And I think he's been doing an amazing job this year. And the level of growth he's had from the time he's been in the league till now has been amazing to see. Now he's running up against some guys who have a lot of experience, you know, so. We're going to try to use that experience to try to beat some of the youth that he has.
Well, whatever you have been doing so far has been working, Dwight Howard.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
For making it back here.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
This year.
Thank
and
you.
Congratulations, David, for, you know.
King David.
Out. Let me see your leg. Kick your leg out.
Kick your leg back out, David.
There we go.
There we go.
Show America the leg.
There we go. Happy kid. All right, everyone else, stick with us. Dwight has to go, but coming up, we are going to talk about what's happening back in L.A. Doc Rivers is out as Clippers head coach. We will react next on The Jump.
The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything.
You've had to go through him at 26, 35, probably at 49. But he's shown why he is the player that he is, why he's had the career and the legacy that he's continually building. And it's not going to be an easy task these next couple of games. But if anybody's up for that task, the Miami Heat are. Not going to say that we're any better than anybody else, but I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here, that's okay. I'm pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay. But we understand that. We embrace that because at the end of the day, we truly don't care. We're just going to go out here and compete, play together like we always have, and see where we end up. But at the end of the day, we're going to do this our way, the Miami Heat way, and that way's worked for us all year long. I'm not giving nobody free coffee, ever. Like, it's not going to happen.
Welcome back to The Jump. Richard, Vince, Zach, still in the house. I asked Jimmy Butler the same question, by the way. Do your teammates get free coffee if you win an NBA title? And he was
support
like,
the cause.
Nope.
Support the cause.
He said, even I pay for coffee. I put $20 in the pile if I take a coffee, to which I pointed out, Jimmy, those $20 in the pot just goes back into your wallet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He also, as you heard there, does not consider the Heat to be underdogs, but the Lakers are the favorites according to Vegas. According to Caesars William Hill, they are listed at -380, meaning if you bet $100 at those odds, you would win $26, which is not a great return there. If you bet $100 on the Heat and they win, he'd win $300. So, Richard, now that Gambling 101 is over, does being a heavy favorite add any extra pressure on the Lakers?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have any pressure on the Lakers, in my opinion, ultimately because they know what it is. No one has ever gone into any playoff series talking about, hey, do you know what Vegas is saying? You know, these games are played between these lines. And ultimately, the Miami Heat, Jimmy is right, they are not underdogs. This is a team, they have the exact same record. They took down the team with the best record in the MVP in Giannis. They took down a very, very talented Boston team, and they did all of that very, very easily, in my opinion. They were tough games, but they did it very, very easily. So they're not walking in here thinking that they're underdogs.
I agree with RJ. I don't think they feel any pressure. I think if anything, AD may press a little bit because this is his opportunity on the big stage to show that he is a superstar and he wants to be here year after year, and he deserves to be here, and he can perform at this level. But I think Rondo's been here before, Danny Green has been here before, and of course, LeBron has been here 10 times now, or 9 times prior. So they're not rattled at all. I don't think they're rattled.
Think about what Vince just said. 10 finals. LeBron lives at the finals. If the Lakers are thinking about the Vegas odds, something is wrong. They have no more pressure on them because of the odds. They know what's at stake. LeBron doesn't have infinite chances left to get that fourth or maybe fifth ring, however many he gets. It's Frank Vogel's first finals as a head coach. It's Anthony Davis's first finals as a superstar player. The pressure is already there. They've been living in a bubble for 3 months. The pressure's already there. They know what's at stake. And to Vince's point, this is a veteran team who knows how to deal with that kind of pressure. And I agree with RJ. The Heat, I mean, they're 12-3 in the playoffs. They faced arguably a tougher slate of opponents to get here than the Lakers did. Like, the Lakers, they know what they're facing. This is a real test.
Absolutely. And look, I know Jimmy is kind of trying to throw some pressure on the Lakers, right? I mean, that is part of why you heard that from him today. He wants them thinking about the fact that they're the heavy favorites, that they're supposed to win. It's kind of a little bit what the Nuggets did to the Clippers, right? In the middle of that series, be like, hey, they're supposed to win. They're up 3-1. All the pressure's on them. We are hearing that from the Heat right now. Kind of a little gamesmanship before the NBA Finals. Nothing wrong with that. I do want to get to what's happening with the other LA team, guys, because the Clippers and Doc Rivers parted ways yesterday. The team said in a statement that Rivers and owner Steve Ballmer, quote, reached a mutual decision for Rivers to step down after 7 seasons. The Clippers, disappointingly, as I just mentioned, blew that 3-1 lead to the Nuggets in the Western Conference semis. Here's what Doc Rivers said in a statement, quote, thank you, Clipper Nation, for allowing me to be your coach and for all your support in helping make this a winning franchise. When I took this job, my goals were to make this a winning basketball program, a free agent destination, bring a championship to this organization. While I was able to accomplish most of my goals, I won't be able to see them all through. Though it was a disappointing ending to our season, you are right there, and I know what this team is capable of accomplishing with your support. So, Vince, I appreciate that the Clippers said in a statement that it was mutual, but that doesn't sound like a man who is just leaving this job voluntarily. What is your reaction to the news?
He was the fall guy. And it's unfortunate in situations like this, coaches are the fall guy. And sometimes it's not warranted. You always look higher up and say, hey, you put this team together and, you asked me to coach this team. But, the unfortunate situation or part to this, in my opinion, is that the Clippers are right there. They're built to win now. So I think you take a step back. I don't care who you bring in because you're now having to get the chemistry and create the chemistry. Again, not with the players, with the coach. The coaches now have to the players have to understand what the coach wants or whatever. Now, if you bring in the likes of a Ty Lue, Sam Cassell, somebody who's been there who understands, who these guys are, it's a little different. But I think right now, they were right there. They didn't play well. But look at LeBron's team when he first got to Miami. They didn't win immediately. But the next year, they got it together. So I just think it's unfortunate.
Look, this is a bold move, and by all accounts I've read and heard, it was a Steve Ballmer move, and Steve Ballmer's been there longer than this current front office. He was there when they blew a 3-1 lead to the Rockets in 2015, so this is not the first 3-1 collapse he's seen, and Doc was a common thread there, but it's still a bold move. The easy move was to bring back Doc Rivers, a beloved figure in the NBA, a great motivator, someone that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard wanted to play for, someone who saw this franchise through the scandal of Donald Sterling and came out the other side. That's the easy move. Bring him back, tweak the staff, tweak on the margins. Steve Ballmer decided that wasn't going to get it done. And to Vince's point, next year is Armageddon for the Clippers. This was a debacle in the playoffs against the Nuggets. They traded their entire future for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who can be free agents after next season. Not saying they're going to leave, but they can. Next year is Armageddon, and Steve Ballmer decided we need a fresh start. And look, that's a brave, bold move. And Doc is going to land on his feet somewhere, but that's a bold move.
Well, I don't know if I would say Armageddon, because I think both of these players wanted to be in L.A. And so, you know, when I really look at, you know, Steve Ballmer, you don't accomplish what this man has accomplished, you know, personally, you know, and in business, unless you're making bold moves. So this bold move doesn't surprise me that much. What I will say to all of America is there is no coaching. There is nothing that you can do to help the performance of the Los Angeles Clippers in the fourth quarter. You can't help Kawhi shoot the way he shot. You can't help Paul George shoot the way he shot in the fourth quarter. That's not coaching. That's on individual players. And so we can't let Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who we have praised all year, Kawhi Leonard did an entire Kawhi Leonard year winning a championship and finals MVP, which he deserved. But ultimately, those guys have to take a lot of credit for some of the failures that this team had. And don't forget about a lot of load management, which made their chemistry struggle. And that was one of the things that I think really hurt their team when things got tight.
I'm very curious to see what's next with the Clippers, because my question anytime someone, quote, gets rid of the coach and you say fall guy, Vince, and that's often in some of these situations, it's sort of like, well, we got to change something. Can't change the players. Let's change the coach. Who are you getting instead? Right? Who else is going to be that voice? And is it going to actually be better? We know who a lot of the candidates are out there. I'm curious to see who they pick. Now, with the Raptors, they got rid of Dwayne Casey, and they knew right away that the reason they were making that change, even though they had the previous year, their most successful year as a franchise, the fact that Dwayne won Coach of the Year and they replaced him, was about for them. Who are we getting instead? And they really believe that Nick Nurse, with his voice and his schemes, was what this team needed to get to the next level. And that turned out to be true. So my biggest question for this is, who are you getting instead? And then I can maybe be a better judge of whether it was the right move, whether it was a bold move, or whether it was a panic move. We're going to have to see how it unfolds to find out. All right, coming up, we will discuss what Zach Lowe likes. Remember, the Zach Lowe likes, doesn't like? Let's see what he likes in the NBA Finals. Here's a hint. Bam Adebayo is involved.
Bam!
He's really
basically
good.
Basically, if Zach talks, he's Bam really Adebayo's pretty, name is going to come out at some
really,
point, right?
He's really good.
Yeah, that's just, next on The Jump. Stick around.
In case anybody didn't know.
Bam, very
Bam's
good.
Good. Bam's good.
Bam good.
Bam good. Bam good.
All right.
Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell.
You're one of the most well-known athletes on the planet. The Lakers are one of the most notorious brands in all of sports. How did those two things come together and amplify one another?
I think it's a perfect match. I made
the fade famous. The city is named the City of Angels. The angels are smiling on it. Grace, I'm
gracefully aging. I want people to say that LeBron James did it his way. Nostalgia, how I remember things. Remember
crowds, remember kings. Is it what you dreamed of?
Or is everything and more? I mean, you have to... The Lakers colors falling from the ceiling and the fans are going crazy.
Cleveland! This is for you!
I'm happy to be here at this point now in my career and at this point in time of the Lakers franchise today, where we're both wanting to get back to that promise.
Real kings everywhere stand up and come with the game. King's disease.
Oh, yeah, the NBA Finals. This is what LeBron came to L.A. for. They start tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 Pacific on ABC. They're also going to be on ESPN Deportes and the ESPN app. You've got Jimmy Butler and the Heat taking on LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Our coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 8:30. Welcome back. It is media day here at the NBA Finals. We're here on the court. They've dressed it up, Richard. It's lovely. Says NBA Finals everywhere here. Game one is tomorrow night. Zach, you have your weekly column on ESPN.com and the app on usually 10 things you like and don't like. So what do you like going into these finals?
Well, look, George Sedano and I have been driving the Bam wagon for a couple years now, but I did not expect Bam Adebayo to be flat out the best player in a conference finals series this year. That's what he was in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm just fascinated by how Eric Spoelstra deploys Bam on defense. Do you start him on Anthony Davis and put Jay Crowder on Dwight Howard? Do you start him on Dwight Howard and pray to God you can contain Anthony Davis? And when the Heat have the ball, you guys saw it. That Goran Dragic, Bam Adebayo pick and roll was a dunk parade against the Celtics. They tried lots of things. None of them really worked. What is the Lakers' answer to that going to be? To me, a lot of this series pivots around Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, so that's one of the things I like. I like the versatility that the Miami Heat have. I mean, they have Jay Crowder, they have Iguodala, they have Bam, they have multiple guys. Even Solomon Hill you could throw in there sparingly to guard LeBron if you want to move Bam to guard the center position. So, yes, Anthony Davis can shoot over those guys, but they move their feet extremely well. So they have a lot of versatility, which I like for the Miami Heat, that they can guard. When they go big, if their success in Laker Nation with the bigs, with Dwight dominating, that's when the issue tends to occur for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, everybody has said, kind of the same thing. And I think the big key in this series will be Dwight and it will be Anthony Davis for this reason. If they're not able to play Dwight and the Miami Heat shooters are able to get going and the Lakers are forced to play small, well, in my opinion, the Miami Heat have more small, high-level players than the Lakers do. And so that can really, really benefit the Miami Heat in this series. Ultimately, it's going to be Dwight Howard. It's going to be Anthony Davis that needs to force them to play big or force them to knock down shots. Because if Miami Heat are knocking down shots, it's going to be tough to play those two bigs together.
So, Zach, do you
and,
expect
on the flip side,
Bam?
Real quick, guys.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
So, on the flip side, and when they do go big, who do you play as the big for the Miami Heat right now? Myers Leonard? Like, where do you go with that? That's the question. Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. I see your face, RJ. It's like, where do you
see,
go?
Don't start going off my facial expressions. That's not a good
thing. I'm agreeing with you. I agree with you. Like, it's like, what do you do? Like, I don't know if that's what I want to do. Myers Leonard guarding Anthony Davis or Dwight. Maybe you got to put him on Dwight.
Zach, how would you answer that?
I think we might see the return of Miami's double big lineups in this series. And I agree with RJ. The Lakers have been really good with their centers on the floor. There's been a rush, including by me, to say Anthony Davis at center, Anthony Davis at center. And against Houston, they had to do that. That was the only way they could blow that series open. I'm not convinced they're really any better without their centers on the floor. Their centers are great offensive rebounders. They're giant. It's impossible to get to the rim against them. And I agree with Vince. It could present a different kind of dilemma for Miami. Is are we big enough with Bam at center and Jay Crowder at power forward? Do we need to go a little bigger, even if it's for 4 or 5 minutes a game? This is why I said I think this series pivots around those big men and how those minutes puzzles are sort of put together.
Well, and we're forgetting that the 6'9", 260-pound point guard in LeBron James is also a big. So you're forgetting about that added size. Like, he is the same size as Bam Adebayo, and we're talking about two other players that are bigger for the Lakers. And so ultimately the Lakers have to play big, in my opinion, because they need to shoot by volume. They need to get more shots. They need to get offensive rebounds. They need to get extra shots because they're not the most efficient of shooters, or they haven't been up until this point. So I look forward to see how that kind of chess match goes.
I want to point out that what you guys are seeing on your screen right now, that's practice today. It's going on right now. And Rob Pelinka, the general manager, is doing rebounding and spot assistant coach duties there for the guys as they
however
rotate through.
Whatever you got to do to win.
Hey, sixth member of the Fab Five.
That's right.
Look, this is actually one of the realities of the bubble. I mean, it's kind of amusing to watch it, but they had a very limited number of staff that they could bring down here. And Rob has been doing this with them through all of their practices. Everybody pitches in here in Orlando. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to discuss what's next for Doc Rivers, who is hitting the market with plenty of desirable job opportunities available. I have never seen this many good jobs open in the NBA. So we're going to discuss all of the options right after this break. It all comes down to this. Win or go home, game 5 with a spot in the WNBA Finals on the line. Alyssa Thomas and the Sun taking on league MVP Asia Wilson and the Aces tonight, 7:30 Eastern. That's on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. And welcome back to The Jump. I'm here with Richard Jefferson, Vince Carter, Zach Lowe. And guys, I want to revisit the news that caught so many by surprise yesterday. The Clippers and coach Doc Rivers parting ways after seven seasons together. It did come after a disappointing postseason where they blew a 3-1 lead to Denver. Doc has over 20 years of head coaching experience, only turns 59 next month, and he will be at the top of many teams' lists this offseason. And there's several attractive head coach jobs open around the league right now. A lot of times these jobs you get are teams that have no stars, just very young prospects. Well, Doc is a potential candidate for a number of the openings that do have stars on the roster, that do have a capability of winning. So, Richard, what do you think is next for him?
I don't know. I don't really think any of those jobs are great jobs. If I were to say the top two, you and I were talking, I think it would be the New Orleans Pelicans and the Philadelphia 76er job for Doc Rivers. I think those jobs are the most intriguing. With the Pelicans, you have young talent that you have to develop. It's a little bit smaller of a market, so you don't have to worry about all the other distractions and all the other drama. But in Philly, there's still a lot of question marks, as there are with a lot of other jobs. And, you know, it's kind of like they say, hey, you're open, son. Well, sometimes you're open for a reason. Sometimes these coaching vacancies are open for a reason, and that's what makes this such a tough pick.
That was good, RJ. No, I agree. I think the Pelicans. and of course the 76ers are very attractive for Doc Rivers. I mean, he's a great motivator, a great teacher, a great mentor, and I think he can do wonders for both of their teams because they're not rebuilding. They're right there. They're not far off from obviously making the playoffs and making some noise in the playoffs, and someone like a Doc Rivers can help. And even looking at that list, the Thunder, I think OKC is a place, depending on if Chris Paul is there, would be attractive to have of having those two minds back together again. But I honestly like 76ers or Pelicans for Doc Rivers.
I keep saying this on this show. Give me the Pelicans job. The Clippers obviously is a great job. Doc's not getting that job. He just lost it. Give me the Pelicans. I don't have pressure to win a championship. They're going to throw a party if I get the fifth or the sixth seed. I got great young talent. I got Zion. I get to eat in New Orleans for as long as I have the job. Give me the Pelicans job. And Doc is going to have options, I think. And remember, he didn't really seem super interested in a rebuild when Boston was pivoting. Right. That's why he got traded to the Clippers. And so does he want to live up back on the East Coast? I mean, like you said, Doc's got 20 years of experience. He maybe wants to win now, you know, so we'll see where he goes.
Richard, what do I say
Doc's
every day this topic comes
courses.
Up? That's true.
They got those in New Orleans.
What do I say every day, Richard, when this topic comes up? Take the...
Money?
No.
Money?
Take the Pelicans job.
Oh, take the Pelicans job. That's what we were talking about. I said that earlier.
I'm trying to set you up.
You did.
Just come in.
I said, Rachel said we were talking about that. And I don't miss many, but that was a good lob. I apologize.
Just saying, can't finish the alley-oop. I know, Vince, what you dealt with all those years. Oh. I have some sympathy for you. It's hard to imagine the Clippers without Doc Rivers, really, after everything that they have all been through together. But Steve Ballmer will indeed be looking for that new head coach. So let's flip this around to the candidates available for the Clippers job. Some of them are already on the staff. Vince, what do you think is the next move for the Clippers? Who would you like to see take that job?
Well, it kind of goes back to my quote-unquote disappointment of letting Doc go. I mean, you want to keep the continuity. You want somebody – the Clippers are right there. Yes, they didn't play well, and like RJ said, you put some of the onus on PG and Kawhi, but – you want to keep the same offense. You know what these guys like and where they like the ball on the court. So, yes, a Ty Lue, a Sam Cassell are two guys that are very attractive. And you put these guys in and you keep the train going. If you bring somebody else in, you're getting to know each other, what they like, what they don't like. Kawhi, where do you like the ball? PG, where do you like the ball? Oh, the pick and roll with Lou Will and Montrez. Okay, what was the play? Where do you like the ball? All of these things you have to figure out. With those two guys, you don't have to do that. You come into training camp and you continue where you left off. You don't start over during training camp. You continue where you left off and you hit the ground running come the first game of the season when you implement two guys like that.
Yeah, I agree with Vince. You get with your players, you get with your key guys, and if you hear a lot of we love Ty Lue, we love Sam Cassell, whatever it is, I don't think you want to overthink this one. If that's what you're hearing, if you hear from those guys that you have a slightly different vision that fits what Steve Ballmer wants, I don't think you overthink it. That said, The boldness of this move suggests to me that Steve Ballmer is not going to be afraid to look outside the Clippers organization to look for a new guy, his version of Steve Kerr or Nick Nurse or whatever it is. But I agree with Vince that Ty Lue is sitting there. He's coveted around the league. If that's the message you're hearing from within your group, I'd be careful about overthinking that decision.
Yeah, and look, when we talk about overthinking the decision, look at all of the history that we have out there. We have Nick Nurse taking over for Dwayne Casey and winning a championship. You have Steve Kerr taking over for Mark Jackson and winning a championship in his first year. You know, here you got Frank Vogel taking over for Luke Walton and has a chance to win a championship in his first year. So a lot of times what coaches can do is they can build on what their predecessors somewhat created. And I think the Clippers are in a good spot, and I know how difficult it was. You know, they won 26 games the year before Jason Kidd and everybody got to New Jersey, and then all of a sudden, you know, you build into a perennial perennial championship caliber team, and that's what Doc Rivers did. So the foundation is there for them to just get over the hump, and I don't think it'll be very long.
I don't know, Richard, you were in Cleveland and we had a David Blatt situation.
That was the one I missed. I was like, there's one more, and it was T. Lou taking over for Blatt.
Again,
I got three out of four.
I'm feeling so much sympathy and empathy for you right now. Richard, you were in that, you were in the middle of all that, right? Where you had Ty Lue. I mean, the guy we're talking, this isn't like a hypothetical or someone, it's like this. It's actually the actual guy, Ty Lue, taking over for David Blatt, getting them to the finals and obviously winning a championship with you guys. How do you think Ty would be stepping into that same exact position over again?
Well, I think what Ty Lue did a very good job with David Blatt and kind of just filling in those gaps, seeing those areas that, okay, hey, you know, as an assistant coach, people talk to you more because they feel like you are a filter to the coach. And sometimes as a head coach, you use that as to your, you know, top assistant to go talk to the player. So there's a little bit of, you know, there's not as much back and forth. And so I think T. Lue has been listening to the players, the gaps that might need to be filled in there. I think that's the opportunity for T. Lue. And look, wherever T. Lue signs, wherever Doc signs, I think all of those teams are going to be in great hands. But there's a ton of quality coaches out there, more than just those two.
Yeah. Forgets the team that you were part of.
Sam Cassell also, like I said. I was so close to bodying that whole segment.
And yet, no. Stick around. We've got more NBA Finals talk right after this. You are watching The Jump. We'll get Richard set before the next segment, I think, maybe, probably. Stop playing.
The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything.
The NBA Finals, they start tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 Pacific. It's on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the app. Check them out. All right, guys, we are running out of time, but I want to get to Anthony Davis. Just before the show, he and I sat down. Check it out. This Lakers team has dedicated the postseason to Kobe Bryant. You guys even have uniforms, the Black Mamba snakeskin uniforms. What does that mean to you to be dedicating this to Kobe?
It means a lot. He inspired every single guy on the team. He inspired this entire organization. He is this organization. You know, everybody on this team, Kobe has touched in some form. And, you know, when they gave us those jerseys, you know, we wear those jerseys with pride. You know, we know how much he wanted for us to win this year. We know how much he wanted us to dedicate our craft. You know, to him, you know, to his family, Gigi, the organization, you know, and so we go out there every night, you know, with the jerseys on or not, you know, we go out there and play in his honor. But when we put those jerseys on, we for sure play with an extra, you know, energy and effort, because we know that we can't lose in those jerseys. It's like a pride. We cannot lose in those jerseys. And not from, you know, a cockiness standpoint, but more so like if we lose in those jerseys, we just feel like we're letting him down. Mm-hmm. And so we try to go out every night, especially when we wear those jerseys and compete to the highest level and have that Mamba mentality that we speak about, because we know that he's watching over us and, you know, he's extremely proud of us. You know, we got this far and he wants us to win. You know, we have him on his side. So a lot of stats that came out about, you know, his numbers, the 8 and the 24, and it's always in our games, and it's like a sign. You know, we look at it as a sign, like it's crazy, you know, how many signs come up during our games, you know, that reference his numbers, and we just want to make him proud, and we got 4 more wins to do that.
Really powerful, right? Vince, what's your reaction to hearing that, especially since you played against Kobe for so many years?
Well, first off, I say they should wear the Mamba uniforms every game then. My opinion. Yeah. See what happens, you know. But it's just amazing the impact Kobe has had, not on just Laker Nation, but everyone. You know, I spoke candidly of our conversation about just, I mean, it was a simple conversation we had in Brooklyn, 10 minutes, mm-hmm. if that, just about, you know, giving me the freedom just to say the word retirement, leading into retirement. So I can only imagine the emotions that's going into not even just clinching the berth of being in the finals, but now going out there to accomplish the goal of winning it for Kobe.
Yeah, I find myself struggling to really add anything. I mean, it still doesn't seem real to me when you think about it. When I think back of being at Staples Center with the balloons and the tributes, all of 2020 doesn't really feel real to me, and I'm outside of it. I can't imagine what these guys feel inside the maelstrom. It's to play in his memory is a thing that I can't understand what they're feeling. It's just a tremendous loss, and it's heartbreaking, really, in a way, to hear them talk like this, because it's so final, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you always try and find extra motivation, just even if it's mentally or emotionally, you know, whether it's, you know, trying to add to a team legacy, trying to do something for the first time for a city or for a team. But we started off this segment talking about the Vegas odds, and did that add more pressure? There is no Vegas odd that could add more pressure to this team than they are already putting on themselves with trying to add to the Kobe Bryant legacy. You hear them talk about not wanting to let him down and that he is with them. I'm sorry. There's no amount of money, right, that is going to, like, sway these guys either way. Oh, well, the Vegas has us this. That pressure that you're putting on, because you're not just representing him. You're representing his family. You're representing all the victims that passed and all the fans that lost a legend, an entire city. That is something that I don't think has been done before. And so, you know, these guys, they're taking that on their shoulders, and they're openly saying that.
And to that end, I would just urge all of them, Kobe's legacy is the way he competed. Mm. So I know that wherever he is, he will be proud of them if they go out and compete.
And
win
the fact that he didn't
lose.
Care about anybody else.
All right, guys,
winning.
We are out of time for today. On that note, NBA Finals start tomorrow.